I invite you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 121. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, at this time, there is great uncertainty and great unrest in our nation, in our world, and in our own lives. And things we fear could get worse. We desire that we and your people would look to you and find peace and comfort. We desire that you would sustain your people, protect them and keep them and guard them and let them know this. We pray for our leaders that you would give them wisdom, that you would use them for our good. We pray for first responders that you would protect them and keep them healthy. We pray for those who are struggling and losing jobs or losing businesses. We pray that you would use this to turn them to you and that you would use us as your church to call them to faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, give your church wisdom as we have been asked for a time to not gather together. And as we're not gathered together, that you would let us know when the time is to come back together. That you would also let us and give us wisdom in how to call this world to faith in Jesus Christ. And so make us strong. Make us an example of those who trust in you. And bless your word this morning, even as we're not able to be here together. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to begin by telling you a little story. It's from a publication in 1873, The Biblical Treasury. I don't know if it's a true story. It could be. And it serves as a good illustration. In the story, there is a ship and a storm and a little girl, the daughter of the captain of the ship. All I know is he is called Captain D, letter D. I'm going to call him Captain Dauntless. That's the only change I'll make in the story. Otherwise, I'll read the story as I found it. A number of years ago, Captain Dauntless commanded a vessel sailing from Liverpool to New York. And on one voyage, he had all his family with him on board the ship. One night, when all were quietly asleep, there arose a sudden squall of wind, which came sweeping over the waters until it struck the vessel and instantly threw her on her side, tumbling and crashing everything that was movable and awakening the passengers to a consciousness that they were in imminent peril. Everyone on board was alarmed and uneasy, and some sprang from their berths and began to dress that they might be ready for the worst. Captain Dauntless had a little girl on board, just 8 years old, who, of course, awoke with the rest. "What's the matter?" said the frightened child. They told her a squall had struck the ship. "Is father on the deck?" she said. "Yes, father's on the deck." The little thing dropped herself on her pillow again without a fear, and in a few moments was sleeping sweetly in spite of winds or waves. Beloved, that is the message of Psalm 121. When all the threats of life come crashing against us, The frightened child of God looks to his heavenly Father and says, "My Father's on the deck." And he returns to his rest. My Father's on deck. My heavenly Father's in control. My heavenly Father is my keeper, my guardian, my protector. And in faith, I am at peace. Recently, we have been shaken awake to the alarm of a killer virus and the world's response to it. A worldwide pandemic and a worldwide panic. And if you're not worried about the pandemic, you're worried about the panic. But probably both. Shocking numbers are coming out of China and Italy and Spain. Italy reports for the last week day-to-day death counts of over 600. In 24 hours, 832 people died in Spain. It's gone all over the world and is increasing here in America. And the world and the economy is all but screeched to a stop. We've never seen anything like this. Schools closed, all sports stopped, parks closed, beaches closed, restaurants closed, stores closed, travel bans, mandatory quarantines, limits on gatherings, social distancing, people losing businesses, people losing jobs, and things could get very, very bad in a few short weeks. Any way you look at it, these are disturbing times. And even if this virus is exaggerated by the media or if governments are using it for nefarious purposes, well then, we have an even more serious threat. Because then we are being lied to by our highest sources of information and manipulated by powers to create certain outcomes. And all of it creates fear. And we can find ourselves panicking and looking for help in all the wrong places. In government, looking for help in leaders and in authorities and presidents, and seeking help in doctors and science, expecting that technology will save us, ventilators and vaccines and vitamins, masks and washing our hands or coughing into our sleeve, all good things. Clorox wipes and chemical disinfecting sprays. When I got onto the plane in New York, a passenger in the seat next to mine handed me a Clorox wipe to wipe down everything. I did. Then she handed me a little spray can and said, "Spray your face." I looked at her for a moment, and then I looked at the bottle, and I did it. And as I handed it back to her, I said, "You know, Avion is spelled naive backwards." Well, we can see our solution in science. We can look to isolation and quarantine as the answer. We can feel that our health is our hope. And if we're not so healthy, greater distress. Or youthfulness may give some of us overconfidence, and age may give others dread. And even we, even the believer, can find ourselves looking to man and medicine and government and technology as our helper. The greatest danger right now is as we are prone to the shock and alarm, we seek alleviation in things other than God. That's our greatest danger. And it is now in times like these that we must turn to our true helper, guardian, keeper, and protector, God and God alone. And this psalm teaches the believer to look away from self and man and look away from all the things that heaven and earth can offer for help and salvation, and turn to God alone. Let's read Psalm 121. Psalm 121. A song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. A little bit about the setting. It is called a song of ascents, song of degrees, steps in the ascent to Jerusalem, it is thought. It is generally considered a pilgrim song sung by traveling pilgrims as they journey to Jerusalem to worship. And so it may be. And as you can imagine, there would be a great many perils of the ancient church pilgrims traveling in the wilderness and valleys and mountain terrain, unstable footing, the exposure to the elements, evil intentions of marauding bands or a kind of pirate thieves along the way. Others think this is a military psalm. Perhaps the thoughts from a general or penned by David himself of the army endangered in the open field, the watchman watching for danger or perhaps looking to the mountains for reinforcements. The keeper motif, which is the watchman, especially favors this view. Still others think it might be those in exile, composed in captivity or written just after release from captivity on their return journey from exile to the land of promise. Or is it just a religious man under the duress of life, trials of existence, struggles of circumstance, and he finds all earthly help useless and a fraud, and he remembers God, the keeper, protector, preserver, guardian, and the only Savior? Well, my friend, whatever the background setting, this is for us. This is for us in our time of need. Our God is our keeper. Jesus Christ, the Lord, is our keeper. And that is the key word in this psalm, repeated no less than 6 times. Keeper. The word in the Hebrew is the same. Shamar, keeper, 6 times. Only difference is participle and imperfect, and the present and the future. Participle, first 3 times. The Lord is keeping you presently. And imperfect, expressed by the future, the last 3 verses, the Lord will keep you. Will keep you. And that is a wonderful assurance that He who is keeping will continue keeping. Verse 3, we'll read it with keep all the way through. Verse 3, He who keeps you. Verse 4, behold, He who keeps Israel. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. Verse 7b, the Lord will keep you, keep your soul. Verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. The ESV is the most consistent, keeps it, keep, throughout. Keeper is translated various ways and also means guard, watch, preserve, protect. Now that word will be our focus this morning. Protect. In translation, I believe, unless cited, one word ought to be picked out and chosen and stuck with so that those who don't know Hebrew will see it. Well, let's read it with the word protect. Verse 3, He who protects you. Verse 4, He who protects Israel. Verse 5, the Lord is your protector. Verse 7, the Lord will protect you from all evil. The second part of verse 7, He will protect your soul. Verse 8, the Lord will protect your going out and your coming in. God is our keeper. God is our protector. First, let's look at the intro of this psalm. This is a call to look to the Lord alone for protection. Verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Whether the pilgrim on journey, the general in the field, the watchman on the wall, or the individual alone, there is alarm. There is great uneasiness, unsettling panic overcoming him. He lifts up his eyes. His eyes are flashing from this side now to the other. They're lifting up from below to above, and he is looking for help. Where does my help come from? Should he find help in the mountains? And that means others do. Should he? No. Others do find help in the mountains, but not so with him. His help does not come from the hills or the mountain. He looks higher still to the one who made the mountains. The hills or mountains represent finding help in that which is thought most strong and most secure in this world. It means to find help in deliverance in the strongest and highest the world has to offer. In our case, it would mean when coronavirus spreads, do we look to the highest authorities, governments? Do we look to the greats in science and the greats in technology and medicine? Many will look there, and only there. Looking to the mountains may very well mean false religion. Many in this crisis will turn to false religion now. On the hills and the mountains, they would often build their high places of false worship, and high because it was thought closer to the gods. They would set up pillars and altars and worship their false gods. The psalmist could be saying, in my distress, should I, like other men, look to the high places, go to the false gods, get religious? And listen carefully, we can make gods out of men in medicine, out of guys in governments. We can make gods out of handouts and bailouts and insurance policies and retirement funds. Do I look to these in my trouble? No. I go to the one true God who made heaven and earth. I don't look to the earth, I look to heaven. I don't look to the mountains, I look to the mountain maker. I don't look to the creation, I look to the creator. I don't look to the world, or the things in the world, or the men of the world. I look to him who made the world and all things therein. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So here is the great corrective. I don't trust in the mightiest things the world offers as security or safety or salvation. I find help and safety in God alone. From whence shall my help come? Not the hills, not the mountains or what they represent, firm as they may seem. Others look there, not I. My help, my preservation, my protection is from the Lord. And may I say it right here at the very start, that must be the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is revealed to us now in the clearest terms in the person of Jesus Christ. And all false religion, those mountains made of men, may be tested by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as he is definitively revealed in the New Testament. As the eternal Son of God became man, entered our very world and our very flesh without sin, he lived a righteous life and died a sacrificial death for sinners and rose by the power of God for salvation, demonstrating that all he promised and all he claimed was true, proving no less than he was God in the flesh and that he is our Lord and protector. The only name given among men by which we must be saved, Jesus Christ. The only mediator between God and men able to save, the man, Christ Jesus. And so, make no mistake, this is the Lord, this Jesus Christ. And the truth of this psalm belongs to all who confess Jesus is Lord. Jesus is our protector. To heaven I lift mine eye, to heaven Jehovah's throne. For there my Savior sits on high, and thence shall strength and aid supply to all he calls his own. Now in this psalm, the psalmist proceeds to remind himself of all the ways God protects, and this will comfort us in this pandemic and panic. Number one, physical protection. Physical protection. Verse 3, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. What I mean by physical, that is your body, your life. The foot standing for the whole person. The foot slipping, the foot being moved while this pilgrim is on his journey or this soldier is on his march through the hills and through the mountains on the rocky terrain. To slip could mean the greatest of physical harm, deadly peril. There are some reasons people slip and fall. A weak foundation crumbles beneath us. A slippery foundation and we cannot hold our footing. Or a weak foot. A weak leg or body. The pillars that hold us up become weak or tired. Weak legs on a long journey become careless in their step. A sleepy body, a weary body can be a trembling foot on a precipice. The slumbering man can become a drowsy eye and a failure to carefully see the placement of the foot. But it says here that the Lord will not allow your foot to slip. Because here, God is awake and watching for you. This watchman doesn't slumber. God doesn't sleep or slumber. The watchman in the word keep really comes out here. God is watching our every step. Do you understand that if you believe in Jesus Christ, He is watching every step you make, every single move? And the thing you step upon may be weak and He knows. It could be slippery and He knows. You could be stepping into circumstances that could threaten your health and your life. He is watching. He is protecting you. You don't know where this invisible germ is on a door handle, secretly flying through the air. God knows. God is watching. You're not physically capable of defending this. God is. And the watchman, this watchman, doesn't ever fail and is never careless in his duty and never slumbers or sleeps. Have you ever slipped and fallen? Sometimes it's from fatigue. Sometimes you've been careless where you put your foot. I often will picture in my mind's eye a mountain climber step on the side of the mountain and on that very little small edge where he places his foot, and it was crumbling rock or it was a bit of dirt or gravel, and the foot slipped. You didn't see it. You didn't see the dirt or the gravel or the broken rock. Or you were careless, or you were fatigued when you placed your foot. You went to sleep in your vigilance. Beloved, God never slumbers or sleeps. He watches our every step. People fall asleep at crucial times. Sometimes the soldier falls asleep when he ought to be on watch, and the enemy comes. God is never taken by surprise. He's always watching over you. Our Lord is the bodyguard of the saints. We've even heard of mothers, fatigued mothers, falling asleep, watching their child. Sometimes people fall asleep at the wheel. Sometimes the captain of the ship falls asleep. Our Father on the deck never falls asleep. Secondly, personal protection. We see personal protection here. Verse 4, behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He now adds that God protects His church, His whole church. He keeps Israel. This is meant to encourage us on an individual basis. The principle is, if He protects the whole, He'll protect each one who makes up the whole. Sometimes we don't feel like God cares for us on a personal, individual basis. Maybe we doubt that precise kind of care for the individual and for the individual me. Or we feel very unworthy for that personal care, and we are unworthy. We know it. We sin. We don't deserve His deliverance. We don't. And we doubt. We don't doubt that He protects and preserves the church, all His people. But we doubt that He protects me. So here the reason He adds, He who keeps Israel, is just to comfort that sort of person with that sort of doubt. Behold means observe this thing very carefully. Take special note of it. God is saying, if I do the greater, I'll do the lesser. If I watch over the whole church, I'll watch over you personally. The shepherd of the flock is the shepherd of every sheep, said Matthew Henry. And the shepherd of the flock will take care that not one, even of the little ones, shall perish. It is a personal protection personal comfort. And he repeats that he doesn't slumber. He adds that he doesn't sleep. It's just very emphatic. He doesn't sleep for the whole. He doesn't sleep for the one. See? He doesn't slumber for the whole church. He doesn't slumber for one. Amazing, just amazing that God focuses on you individually, you personally. You, not just the church as a whole, you. I mean, you want to talk about self-worth. You want to talk about self-esteem. This is the proper place. Verse 5 probably goes here as emphasis to that individual point. The Lord is your keeper. Your keeper, singular. He'll protect His whole church. Believe that He'll protect you. He will. Maybe the coronavirus is causing you to slip in your faith. Maybe the unprecedented panic has caused you to tremble, shake, and move. You are reminded to put your trust in the Lord as your only physical and personal protection. Not only physical, not only personal, but present protection. Number 3, present protection. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. Now it's tempting to call this protection powerful, just as much as it is present. And maybe we should call this third point God's present powerful protection. Present powerful protection. That seems to be the significance of the right hand. Most people being right-handed, the right hand was the hand of power. Men would choose the best man, the best helper for work or government to join them and help them. He was their right-hand man. He was the one they relied upon. He was the wisest one they could choose, the strongest and the most powerful. That Jesus is at God's right hand means He possesses more than God's honor and equality, but God's power. Now think of that. That one at the right hand of God is at your right hand. Jesus at the right hand of God is at your right hand. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. This virus is not more powerful than God. God is in complete sovereign control. God is omnipotent. He sends disasters and He sends plagues in Scripture for various reasons. He controls them. He is all-powerful. He has demonstrated His power in Jesus. He has demonstrated His power in the resurrection of Jesus. We are to trust in Him and His power. To say that He is shade or shadow means He is very close, as well as the image of protection and covering from the searing sun, as we'll see in a moment. But first, we may say shade or shadow means that He is present. He is near. The power of God is present with you at all times to keep you and protect you. He's saying the Lord protects you. He is near and He is powerful. He is our strength. We sometimes wonder if we'll be strong enough if we get the virus. We are told that the youth shrug it off because they are young. And those weaker due to older age or due to immunodeficiency or respiratory issues are at a much higher risk. But I will say to the young and old, we must find our dependency and strength in the nearness and power of God and not be tempted to either trust in our youthfulness or be overwhelmed by our weakness. That in either case, we look below to man instead of looking up to God. What I'm saying is it is foolish for the young not to trust God in a crisis like this. We can deceive ourselves into thinking, I am young and I am strong and this won't touch me. If you don't get this or you are unaffected, if you do, you should give glory to God. And remember that it is God who keeps you from 1,000 invisible microscopic enemies 1,000 times a day. We should not be presumptuous. Young men do grow weary, and those who tempt God, well, you tempt God. Beware. Isaiah 40, verse 30 says, even youth shall faint and grow weary, and vigorous young men shall utterly fall. And if you do not trust God, young man, young people, you will fall. But Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is said to the man who trusts in the Lord, whether young or old, whether strong or weak. And for those who are risk factors due to weakness, Isaiah 40, verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. He is present and he is powerful to protect. He protects physically, personally, present powerfully. Number four, pervasively. Number four, pervasive protection. Verse 6. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in. This is such a great encouragement and comfort. Do not fear COVID-19. Do not fear government overreach. God's protection is absolutely pervasive, complete, comprehensive. It is the protection of all time, all evil, and all the person, and all activity. Day and night, physical and spiritual, pervasive protection. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night, verse 6. I don't think the overall point here is protection from a sunburn. I went on a long walk this week, too late in the day, and the sun, I joke, smote me. I got very red. The truth is, I can't imagine what it would be like facing a full day of unrelenting sun without protection. And to the pilgrim marching day after day in the sun, this was real. A real threat to be smote by the sun. I think we take this literally first. God says, I'll even protect you from that. Sun poisoning, sunstroke, and all that comes with excessive exposure to the sun, dehydration, delusion, weakness. Hence, it says he's our shade on our right hand. Now, moonstruck is a little harder to comprehend literally, though we're familiar with the term moonstruck. However, there are stories of those in the east and those nearest the equator blinded by an intense moon, of excessive exposure to that moon. And then some think this refers rather to the night time, since the moon is the lesser light that governs the night. And so this means dangers like nighttime cool and damp, dangers brought about by the cold after the hot day, dangers of that sort. And it may include that. Some think it refers to the dangers of the moon not giving clear light at night as the sun would in the day. And so dangers that lurk in the dark and hide in the shadows. It includes that. At least the Lord protects from that too. But protection from the sun and moon are metaphorical and figurative too. The sun and moon govern time. Genesis 1:16 says God made the two greater lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And this is certainly saying that God protects your day and night. We might say very blandly, God protects you 24 hours a day. God protects you all day long. This might also be figurative of false worship. The sun and moon were also objects of worship. They were deified, and men in their fears would call upon them for safety. And it may be that, maybe saying here, don't do what the nations are prone to do in your fear, and start looking to them and be tempted in your fear to worship and call upon them. Deuteronomy 4:19 says, beware lest you lift your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them. We are aware that the moon has also some power of the tides, and what effects it has on the mind, who really knows? Sailors swear by it. Naval officers have reported it, especially between the tropics, the effects of moonstroke. It may be only superstition, but that is in itself an effect. Some have thought it caused madness, moon madness. We get our word lunacy or lunatic from it. Shakespeare even wrote about it. In the Midsummer's Night Dream, he says, "The moon, the governess of floods, pale in her anger, washes all the air that rheumatic diseases do abound." In Othello, he says, "It is the very air of the moon. She comes more near the earth than she was wont and makes men mad." Obviously, some things are imaginary, superstition, and greatly embellished storytelling, as of the moon turning man into a werewolf. Yet whatever real and whatever imaginary, like a pandemic, is not to be feared or to be trusted in. God protects from all, at all times, 24/7. To be clear, He protects from all evil. Not just the sunburn. All evil. Pervasive protection. Comprehensive protection. "No time are you out of His watch, and no evil in that time shall harm you." All evil may refer first to all physical trouble, all the evil that can befall you as you travel on your pilgrimage or as you're the soldier on your journey in this life. But it's not just physical evil. It's not just physical trouble. It's spiritual trouble, spiritual evil too. Verse 7, "The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul." Keeping your soul, explaining the all evil. "He guards you from all evil. No evil men, no evil omens, no evil demons, no evil." Protects you from all evil. "He will keep your soul." Protect your soul. Preserve your soul. Not just your body, your soul. The Lord is the guard of the soul, of the most important part of man. Here is the eternal security of the saints. Pervasive protection, body and soul. It is an absolute promise, said Samuel Pierce. There are no conditions annexed. It honors God for us simply to believe it and rest on the Lord for the performance of it. As we view it, what have we to fear? The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. His word is immutable. Jesus preserves body and soul. He is the Savior of the body as well as of the soul. End quote. Verse 8 probably belongs here too, you see. They blend as the pilgrim steps on his journey of faith, as the soldier ascends in his march, as the pilgrim ascends to Jerusalem, so does his faith in God. Verse 8 is again pervasive of His protection. Not just all time, not just all evil, not just all of the man, but all His doings, His comings and His goings. Look at verse 8. "The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in." Literally, going out of your house and coming into it again. And then it would comprehend all actions in between. Going out may be public, coming in may be private. Still pervasive protection of all. Going out to work, God protects you at work. Going out to school, God protects you at school. Going out to your social gathering, going out to your play, going out to entertainment, God protects you. And on your way to work and school and play, He protects you. And now you're not going out so much, only to shop for necessary groceries, but you are coming in. You are staying in. You're being at home, and He protects you there. May I say, home isn't our protection. God is our protection. Isolation, quarantine isn't the solution. God is the solution. Protection is physical, personal, present, and powerful, and pervasive. And number 5, perpetual. Quickly, verse 8. "The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Now the psalmist ascends the greatest step of all. the eternal heavenly step. His faith reaches past all earthly needs to the securing of heaven itself. His faith ascends to the eternal home, glory, and glorious immortality. But we are facing a threat that could take our earthly life, beloved, but it cannot take us from God. We have a perpetual protection from God that reaches into the forever future. As He has no end, we under His protection have no end. God has not promised that we wouldn't get coronavirus. He has not promised that we would not die from COVID-19 or a myriad of other things. He has promised to keep us. And that ultimately means death cannot keep us from God. Adoniram Judson said, "He has not led me so tenderly thus far to forsake me at the very gate of heaven." Don't be overcome by this pandemic or the panic. Don't trust in man or things of this life to protect you or keep you. They are vain. Look beyond. Look to the Lord. Look to Jesus Christ. He is our helper, our keeper, our guardian, our preserver, and our protector forever and ever. Proof is in the promise of this word. Proof is in the Lord who became flesh, came near, suffered, and died, and rose again. Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God. And if you're looking to Him and you're trusting in Him, you're His. You're His precious little child. And not one hair can fall from your head unless He allows it. Nothing can happen to you without His express command and your eternal good in His mind. Coronavirus cannot affect you or take you away from His will. And if He does will it, if He wills your death through coronavirus, it's because He has a greater purpose, and it will be to your good, and it will be to His glory. But you won't have to fear. No, you are His child, forever His child, His precious little one. And so be comforted and be at peace. That's what He wants you to know. That's what He's saying here in His Word in Psalm 121. My little child, woken to fear over this storm pandemic. My little child, frightened by the wind of panic that is casting up waves and setting the world on edge. Your heavenly Father is at the helm. Go back to your sweet rest. Fear not the windy tempests wild. Thy vessel shall they'll not wreck. Lie down and sleep, O helpless child. Thy Father's on the deck. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't look to the earth. We don't look to the hills or the mountains. We don't look to man. We don't look to government. We don't look to the wise men. We don't look to the medicine and the doctors and the technology and the science. We're thankful for some of those things that You have given them to us. We look to You. And we trust in You alone. Help us in this time of our fear and in the weakness, really the spiritual weakness that we all are prone to, that You turn us to look to You, our rock and our Savior, our protector and our keeper. Forgive us for fearing. Forgive us for being paralyzed by fear. Forgive us for worrying in an improper way. And Father, assure our hearts that You protect Your church and every individual in it. What love have You revealed to us here and shown to us again? How secure we are in Christ. Oh, Father. Comfort your people with this. And bring your people that have yet to believe to faith. In Jesus' name, amen.